Please join me in prayer. Prepare our hearts, O God, to accept your word. Silence in us any voice but your own, that hearing, we may also follow your will. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 6, verses 1 through 11. What then are we to say? Should we continue in sin in order that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin go on living in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we have been buried with him by baptism into death, so that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we will certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed, and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. For whoever has died is freed from sin. But if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. The death he died to sin once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. The word of the Lord.
Friends, let us pray. Come among us with your power and with your holy grace, O God. Baptize us with your Spirit and with your love. And as the prophet Jeremiah has it, pluck up and pull down everything in us that is not of you, and build and plant your gracious kingdom with us, through us, and within us. All these things we pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. God meets us and loves us right where we are, but God loves us too much to leave us where we are. We have been justified and we are being sanctified. We have been set free and now we are walking into freedom. The door to our prison cell has been unlocked and opened. And now we are being given the courage and the strength to walk through that door and to embrace the responsibilities and the challenges of freedom. God meets us and loves us right where we are, and God loves us too much to leave us where we are. This is a theme that runs straight through biblical faith. It is the source of our assurance, and it is the source of our courage to live and to walk in newness of life. We are on the journey of liberation and transformation. In the very beginning of the book of Exodus in the Old Testament, the Hebrew slaves were under the power of Pharaoh down in Egypt land. Pharaoh brutalized them, controlled them, threatened them, and forced them to do his will. Pharaoh claimed control over their bodies and over their lives. But God in heaven heard the cry of the slaves. God heard their cry for freedom, their cry for newness of life, and God acted to liberate the Hebrew slaves. God set them free from Pharaoh and brought them through the Red Sea waters, where God led them into the wilderness on their way to full entry into the Promised Land. The journey to freedom, you see, was not automatic. They did not leave Egypt and then enter immediately into the Promised Land. It was a journey. In the wilderness, they were free. They were no longer under the dominion or the control of Pharaoh. But the life of freedom in the wilderness was demanding. They were tempted over and again to revert back to Egypt, tempted to go back and live that old life that they had left behind. But God, in the wilderness, continued to sustain them and provide for them, leading them to embrace an inner spirit, inner freedom of spirit, and an inner life that would match the outer freedom, the external freedom that had been given to them. They were not yet in the fullness of the promised land. They were free, but they were in an in-between space, a liminal, transitional space of wilderness on their way home to the land of promise. God heard them and God loved them while they were in slavery, but God did not leave them there. God loved them too much to leave them in their slavery, and so God brought them out to freedom. Now in Romans chapter 6, which Leslie just read for us, the Apostle Paul uses this basic foundational paradigm of the Exodus to teach the church in Rome what has happened to them in Jesus Christ. And he tells them that they have been brought through a new Exodus. Only now, it is not just Pharaoh who has had them under his thumb. Pharaoh was just a single person in time. He was very powerful, but Pharaoh was only one individual. They have been under the thumb of the power of sin and the power of death. Sin and death, whose reach extends well beyond that of any given Pharaoh. The powers of sin and death, represented by the serpent in the Garden of Eden, the powers of sin and death have a way of reappearing generation after generation, adapting to new circumstances, showing up in every place. Sin and death have controlled them, just as Pharaoh did to the Hebrew slaves. Sin and death have been at work in their lives, distorting their lives, intimidating and threatening them, forcing them to do things that were not good for them. Which should lead each one of us to ask, where does sin turn up in my life? Where does sin manifest itself in my life? This question does not need to put us on the defensive, as though we're under some kind of inquisition, for the fact is that all of us, in various ways, all of us have sinned and fall short of God's glory. No. This is a healing question, a question of diagnosis, which is necessary for us to ask before we can know where the healing cure of God's grace needs to be applied in our life. Where in our lives does sin characteristically turn up? Where do we find ourselves being cruel or acting out of fear or becoming self-righteous or muzzling our voice out of shame or acting out of greed or living defensively and reactively and on and on and on? Where does sin turn up in our own lives? We have often said in this place before that people of biblical faith, and especially those of us who are part of the Reformed tradition, people of biblical faith should not be surprised when people and systems do awful things. Our tradition, the Reformed tradition, which teaches about total depravity, our tradition has a deep awareness of the power of sin. Now, it is the case that that awareness of the power of sin has sometimes led our tradition to be somewhat dour at times, but that awareness helps us to appreciate sin's tenacity and sin's power. And we will sometimes say that anyone who is shocked when people or systems do horrible things, that people who are shocked by that have an underdeveloped theology of sin. One of the places where we get that theology which appreciates the power of sin, is from the Apostle Paul, who himself had a robust appreciation for the power of sin. But as much as Paul recognized the power of sin, Paul also knew that there is a power and a force at work in the universe that is far, far greater than the power of sin. And that is the power of God's grace at work in the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus. When Jesus died, Paul says, he died to sin so that death no longer has dominion over him. And what Paul teaches us here in Romans chapter 6 is that in baptism, we are united with Christ in a death like his, which means that in our baptisms, we too have died to sin. We have been buried with Jesus by baptism into death so that we might walk in newness of life just as Jesus did. I am not making this up. This is what this text is telling us. You have been set free from sin, and as a result, you can walk into freedom. God has met you and loved you where you are, and God is loving you too much to leave you where you are. What Paul is saying here is that the only thing worse than an underdeveloped theology of sin is an underdeveloped theology of baptism. In our baptisms, we have been liberated from the kingdom of sin and death, liberated from the dominion of Pharaoh. It has been done. We have been set free. And though we still await the full and glorious consummation of all things at the end of the age, that outcome is not in doubt. As Paul says, our old selves have been crucified with him so that the body of sin might be destroyed and we might no longer be enslaved to sin. This is why it is so appropriate for us to be reading this text of freedom on the weekend of June the 19th. Juneteenth, which many of us, including myself, have not known much about until recently. Juneteenth is the commemoration of the day when the Emancipation Proclamation was read to enslaved people in Texas in 1865, 2.5 years after the Emancipation Proclamation had been issued. It was read to enslaved people in Texas in 1865, letting them know that they were no longer enslaved, that they were free. Juneteenth is known as Emancipation Day, Freedom Day. In your baptism, God has accepted you just as you are. God has set you free. And by your baptism, God has promised not to leave you as you are, but to lead you into the full expression of that freedom. So, if you are feeling tired and weary and discouraged in your life, God does not banish you and say, "Check back with me when you're in a better mood." God meets us where we are, and then the Spirit of God is at work within us and beyond us, helping us to discover the source of power and strength that is far deeper than our fatigue. If you are living a life of fear and worry, God does not banish you because of that and say, why can't you be more confident? God meets us where we are, and then the Spirit of God is at work within us and beyond us to free us to live and walk with greater courage and deeper hope. If we are among the poor and the oppressed in the world, vulnerable ones whose voices have been silenced for far too long, God lets us know that we do belong, that God hears our cries right now. God enfolds us into God's kingdom, and then the Spirit of God is at work within us and beyond us to help us flourish and thrive in the world. If we are among the powerful ones in society who have benefited from the way that the world's systems have been arranged, God does not banish us for that and say, why do you have so much power? God meets us where we are, and then the Spirit of God is at work within us and beyond us to say, what are you going to do with your power and with your influence? How can my Spirit be at work in you to use your power and your influence to build up the beloved community so that all people may live and flourish? In our baptisms, God meets us, accepts us, and loves us as we are. And in our baptisms, God loves us too much to leave us where we are. We are on a baptismal journey of transformation as individuals and as a community, moving from the kingdom of fear to the kingdom of compassion, leaving the kingdom of anxiety and control for the promised land of neighborliness and justice. The old life is gone and has passed away. The new life has already begun. To the liberating God be all power, honor, and glory now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. We praise you, O God, for your freedom which you give us and to which you call us. Grant us the necessary faith to embrace your call to freedom. Grant us the humility, the wisdom, and the understanding that we need it. And give us, dear God, the grace to pursue your freedom together. We pray all of these things through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
And now let us affirm what we believe using the words of the brief statement of faith, the section on Jesus, and let us say together, we trust in Jesus Christ, fully human, fully God. Jesus proclaimed the reign of God, preaching good news to the poor and release to the captives, teaching by word and deed and blessing the children, healing the sick and binding up the brokenhearted, eating with outcasts, forgiving sinners, and calling all to repent and believe the gospel. Unjustly condemned for blasphemy and sedition, Jesus was crucified, suffering the depths of human pain and giving his life for the sins of the world. God raised this Jesus from the dead, vindicating his sinless life, breaking the power of sin and evil, delivering us from death to life eternal. With believers in every time and place, we rejoice that nothing in life or in death can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Again, we want to welcome all of you who are joining us for worship on this Father's Day here at Lewinsville Presbyterian Church. We are especially glad to have those of you who are joining us for the first time today. You honor us with your presence in this virtual online worshiping community. There are a number of announcements about the life, ministry, and mission of Lewinsville Presbyterian that we want to share with you at this time. First, I want to share with you an update about Lewinsville's ongoing response to COVID-19. At its meeting this past week, the session voted to extend the suspension of our in-person worship services in the sanctuary through the summer, continuing that suspension until September the 20th of this year due to the COVID-19 pandemic. We made this decision with tremendous sadness because we so want to be back together for worship. But out of concern for the well-being of the congregation, we believe that this is the most appropriate course of action for us. Over the course of the next few months, it is our hope to offer a number of opportunities for outdoor worship services here on the church campus with physical distancing and other safety measures in place. These experiences are still being developed, and we will be in touch with you about those, with details about those, in due time. If you have any questions about any of these things, please feel free to be in touch either with me, with Pastor Jen, or with any member of the session. For adult education, I just want to remind you that through the month of June, there have been a series of adult education classes studying the book of Acts in the New Testament using material that is drawn from the Bible Project. Those classes continue through the month of June, and then we invite you to stay tuned for additional information about other adult Christian education opportunities through the summer. As many of you know, one of the great needs during these days is for blood donations. We are going to be having a blood drive here on the campus at Lewinsville on Sunday, July 12th, though this blood drive will be taking place in Innova's Bloodmobile. Innova Blood Services will be accepting donations via their Bloodmobile, which they will be setting up in our parking lot here at Lewinsville on Sunday, July the 12th. There's more information about this blood drive on the church website at lewinsville.org, and you can sign up for a time slot to donate on the website. Innova's blood service staff are going to be wearing masks during the drive, and donors are also required to bring and to wear your own masks that day. If you have any questions about this blood drive on Sunday, July the 12th, you can be in touch either with Roy Seipel or with the church office. This coming week, July 22nd through the 26th, was to have been the week for the 2020 Summer Mission Project trip. But for the first time in 30 years, we have had to cancel SMP because of the COVID pandemic. However, the spirit of SMP lives on. The SMP leadership team encourages everyone in the congregation this week to find some way to serve in our community, whether you do that through donating to some local organization or finding another safe service opportunity. There is a list of suggestions of ways that you might do this on the SMP page, the Summer Mission Project page, of our website at lewinsville.org. There will also be two Zoom gatherings during the week for folks who want to share their experiences during this week and to enjoy each other's fellowship. And information about those Zoom gatherings is also on the website. I want to remind you also about the Padlet that Pastor Jen mentioned in her sermon last week that she has developed, where people in the congregation are sharing things that are giving them hope during these days. A link to the Padlet was included in the Thursday update that was emailed out this week. We encourage you to visit the Padlet, see what others from the congregation have shared, and then contribute your own things that are giving you hope during these days. During this season, when we are physically separated from each other, we are so very thankful to you for your continuing financial support of the ministry and mission here at Lewinsville Presbyterian. Your support is helping to ensure that Lewinsville's ministry will continue and will thrive long after the COVID-19 crisis has passed. Your generosity is also helping to support the work of local organizations that are on the front lines of responding to the needs of those who are most vulnerable in our community. That support continues to be very, very important. The simplest way for you to give to Lewinsville and to our partner organizations is through our website by clicking on the Give Online button on the page at lewinsville.org. You can also give by text message, and there are instructions about that on the webpage, or you can mail in your offering check to the church office, and it will be processed as soon as possible. As always, please, please stay in touch with us, with me, with Pastor Jen, with the church office, about any prayer requests or needs that you have or that you are aware of, whether those are related to the COVID-19 pandemic or not. Our flowers today are given in loving memory of longtime Lewinsville members Leo and Carol Shepherd in celebration of their 60th wedding anniversary. We give thanks to God for the impact that Leo and Carol had on this congregation, on their family, and on the world. Friends, let us now continue our worship of Almighty God during this time of offering.
Thank you.
During this most recent inquirers class here at Lewinsville, we received a number of people into membership here at Lewinsville Presbyterian, and we want to introduce those folks to you at this time. Bob and Beverly Johnson have been members of National Presbyterian Church in D.C. since 2008. Several years ago, they moved out to Arlington and found themselves closer to Lewinsville. In talking about Lewinsville Presbyterian, they have particularly appreciated the warmth of the congregation here. Bob and Beverly actually belonged to Lewinsville in 1983, between 83 and 86. Bob and Beverly have both served as elders at numerous Presbyterian churches around the country, and they are grateful to be part of the warm community here at Lewinsville. Steve Holson lives in McLean and is the father of Grant, a fifth grader at Franklin Sherman Elementary School. From 2009 to 2020, Steve was also a member at National Presbyterian in D.C., where he served as an usher and as part of a rotating group of parents who served as Sunday school teachers. Steve has been attending Lewinsville since 2017 when he moved to McLean and has decided to transfer his membership here because of the warmth of the congregation and the core values that are demonstrated by the Lewinsville community. Emily Miller lives in Falls Church and has been attending Lewinsville for about a year after moving to Northern Virginia from Charlottesville. Emily's a systems engineer, loves hiking, college football. She spent a lot of her time in the Columbus, Ohio area, and so she roots for the Buckeyes, and she enjoys travel. Kathy Dubois has lived in Northern Virginia all of her adult life. She has three sisters, a niece and a nephew, and a great niece, Ella Catherine. Kathy is grateful that most of her family, including her parents, live close by. She's been a pediatric registered nurse for over 30 years, specializing in professional development. Karen Moore lived all around the world as an Army wife before settling in McLean. She was a speech therapist and a special ed teacher and retired in 2011. Her interests include gardening, traveling, reading, and staying active with the Women's Club of McLean and the Newcomers Club. She has two daughters, four grandchildren, and frequently visits them in Atlanta and in Farmington, Connecticut. To all of these folks, we want to extend a warm Lewinsville welcome. We are so delighted that you are here. We hope that your participation in the life of Lewinsville will be a blessing in your life, even as your participation here is a blessing to this congregation and through our ministry to this community. Again, we want to say to all of these folks the twofold charge that we often give to people when they become members here at Lewinsville. We want to encourage you to feed yourselves And we want to encourage you to feed others, to feed yourselves. By that we mean that we want you to attend to your own spiritual growth, to do that through attending worship services, participating in educational classes, small groups, and other kinds of activities that can build up your own spiritual life. And by feeding others, we mean to say that we encourage you to find ways to invest yourself and your energies and your gifts and your talents in the mission and ministry of this congregation, whether you do that through one of our many mission projects and mission efforts, through teaching a class, through serving on some committee, or in some other way, finding ways for you to invest yourself in the mission and the ministry of this congregation as we seek to love and serve God by responding to human need. We are delighted to have you here, and we look forward to getting to know you here at Lewinsville.
As we come to the time of the prayers of the people today, a few to share with you. The first is a big celebration that Lucille Quinn turns 100 today. Lucille lives at LRR and is an LPC member, and we give thanks to God for the life of Lucille and making it to the milestone of 100 years. We heard that Ken Schaefer's older brother died a couple of weeks ago, and so we send prayers to Ken, to Connie, and the Schaefer family in this loss. We send our prayers to the 224th General Assembly that was supposed to meet in Baltimore and is now meeting online. They began their meetings on June 19th and will continue throughout the week. And we also remember with the African American communities around our country, Juneteenth, as Pastor Scott mentioned in his sermon, the date that farther away slaves heard of emancipation. And so we join in that celebration of emancipation from slavery. As it is Father's Day, we also send our prayers to the fathers, grandfathers, great-grandfathers in the congregation, and to those for whom this day is a mix of both joy and difficulty. And now let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' love and righteousness. In a week where the congregation has shared places of hope together, words of hymns and poetry, pictures of loved ones, stories of family and support, scripture passages, youth and service ministry, resilience in the pandemic, conversations in our country, and more, we offer words of praise and thanksgiving that all of our hope is grounded in our life in Christ. Lord, when the scripture tells us that we die with Christ and we live with Christ, remind us that means that in all of it, we are with him and he is with us. In all of it, all of everything, in the places we most need him to be, in the deepest recesses of ourselves, in the darkest places of our world, we know that you, Lord, are with us. Hear us today as we pray for those in need of your being with them in a particular way, for those who grieve, thinking today of Ken Schaefer, that they may be comforted until they see you face to face and death is no more. For those who are sick and suffering, restore them and surround them with needed care and treatment plans and support. For those who are weary in this world, especially fathers who don't have what they need to care for their children, those who are oppressed, those without the basic needs of life, may justice roll down like water and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. For those whose heavy burden is from caregiving, a family member, or for their employment, remind them that you carry them in the very palm of your hand, and there they can find rest. Lord, we also share with you our joys, including the 100th birthday of Lucille Quinn and the new members who have joined our church. What a blessing, and we are thankful. On this Father's Day, we give thanks for the fathers, grandfathers, and great-grandfathers here, and those we hold close to our hearts on this day, for the way they have fathered us, shared the faith, guided us in life's purpose, and supported our growth. If this Father's Day causes any grief for the difference of what we hoped for and what has been, surround us with your love poured into our fragile hearts. Be with the General Assembly in the work of sharing the love of Jesus in the world. Make us all bold to witness to the good news that we find him with us in our sorrow and our joy, and to witness against injustice in our country as we affirm the humanity of every single one of God's beloved creations. Spirit, guide us in the love of Christ with us in all things. And we pray in the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us when we pray together to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Alive, no longer bound to distant years in Palestine, but saving, healing here and now, and touching every place and time. In every insult, rift, and war, where color scorn or wealth divide, Christ suffers still, yet loves the more, and lives where even hope has died. Women and men in age and youth can feel the Spirit here, the find the way, the life, the truth, revealed in Jesus, freed for all. Christ is alive and comes to bring good news to this and every age, till earth and sky and ocean joy with justice, love, and praise.
Friends, Christ is alive and brings us good news each and every day. We are on a journey of transformation. It is a journey of dying with Christ to the old habits and the old ways that no longer serve us well, and a journey of rising with Christ to the new life of freedom, courage, compassion, justice, and joy. We are walking this road to freedom, and we are walking it together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God Almighty, and the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit be upon you, around you, and within you each day of this week, for the rest of your life, and out into all eternity. Amen.